welcome to the post game. We just told a story based on the prompt, "That's my last Duchess painted on the wall." So let's break it down. Castle, it's been a while prompt. Since...
I was going to say prompt check. We're pretty good there.
Pretty good, yeah.
I don't want to be literal anyway.
You know. My Americanness, I don't really know what a duchess is. So I just kind of, I know they're, it's
or
a title.
How to spell
it's a
clearly.
Nobility title.
There's no T.
Yeah.
We started with a castle, which clearly, you know, was inspired by the royalness of the prompt. And then I'm glad we got some paintings later and we weren't too literal. You know, maybe Esther was a duchess. We don't know, but we didn't have to say that.
That's the first time I have ever reconnected with a prompt after the very, very beginning of a story.
So I was so impressed, man.
Thanks.
That was like a Gertrude and Francis moment for you then, huh?
Yeah.
You reconnected with the prompt.
I have a road not taken, which is really small, but I'll mention at the end. Gertrude did promise Cecilia that she would keep the family going. And I did want to come back to that she either had kids with Gerhardt or that she decided that maybe that didn't happen in a literal way. Maybe it wasn't a like having children continuation of the family, but she did something to preserve the legacy of the family. And that was how she fulfilled her promise to Cecilia. But Casey was taking it home at the end. And I did not want to interrupt that because I love it.
Got married when they were 20 and they were married for 35 years and then 15 years went by after the non-sale of the house and they were 70.
We don't know if they were 20 when they got married. They might have been 12.
Arranged marriage. I was just, yeah, you I know, almost... Casey was telling a happy ending, and I was like, I can't interrupt this, man. Because they might die at any minute, and I got to see
this moment.
I almost made a reference to that and jumped in there. But yeah, I mean, once Casey's, it was one of those where he wasn't going to stop. And we needed to end it. But I was going to say something about like keeping, in that way, they had kept the Nyborgs going.
Yeah. Just by keeping it together. Yeah.
They become a family in a way.
Yeah, it feels like she succeeded poetically.
Yeah. Yeah. As much as possible.
So that was one little knot in the bow that I almost made there.
Something along those lines.
Yeah, like that Gertrude was gonna say something about that. Oh, and I thought the bodies were buried under the pond.
Oh.
Oh, you did.
That's where I put them.
I kind of, I didn't think that, but that's a really compelling idea. I thought it was kind of funny that we, Kevin triangulated the location of the bodies, but it was entirely about the contamination and there was no actual identification of
the bodies or where the bodies were.
I actually, here's a road not taken. I thought maybe he was going to dig up Sleeper, the dog, and think it was the body and that's how they were going to get around the claws. But
like it had an airtight case and then they went to
examine
the
bodies. It was a dog body, but I don't know.
That would have been great, Ben.
Ben.
Really I kind of like the. I liked where we went instead. I thought the Declaration of Love was really nice.
We should have let you talk, and then maybe you could, and then you could have done that.
Well, I'm glad we made room for that moment where Kevin fell to his knees and cried.
Yeah. That was important to me.
He looked at his hands, fell to his knees, and cried. Yeah, that made it into the climax, thankfully.
Any other loose ends or continuity things? I think we actively
airtight
manage that along the way.
Certainly the legal and real estate questions were well sealed up.
Well, God.
I'm always interested in like the beginning stages. Like my first sentence, we were in a castle. Anybody have like broad strokes of where they thought things might go at that point?
I was doing a little bit of contemplating, like, are we in a castle hundreds of years ago? Are we in a castle in the modern day? It was a little bit, it was sort of implied, like, the fact that he was selling the castle.
Yeah, there's a real estate agent.
suggested. Well, We didn't know there was an agent involved right away.
No,
I don't think so. Oh, okay. So it was,
yeah, because you made, you said castle, but... and then kind of left a beat, and because I remember thinking, oh, the castle is sentient, and then I realized that that's because I read this trashy fantasy novel on a plane where the castle is sentient, and I was like, oh, I don't think I want to go there. But yeah, I was going to go full fantasy right before I realized that I would just be retelling the book I just read.
I really like as soon as the Duchess painted on the wall, I really just felt this sense of an empty castle where somebody was moving out and it was the last days of their tenure and all the history and time, and some real estate agent was going to come in and be like, all right, yeah, looks good. Okay, let's we'll sweep this up. And
that's the constable, man.
Just the depressing kind of, or maybe melancholy moments of the end of a castle.
I thought that we did a pretty good job. This is always sort of a vague observation, but at least for me, it felt like we were, I mean, obviously there's some of this in every story, but we were like feeling around for a little while, you know, and like, it really was not obvious to me for quite a while, like where we were going or where we were headed or what was up or what was important or whatnot. But I feel like we stayed in it and just kind of kept moving things and kept building and then finally got traction. And so it's one of those times where I just appreciated that nobody like gave up on it, or we didn't take any wild swings to try to like juice things up kind of arbitrarily. Like, I think we were kind of patient and got there eventually. So that's
the challenge, I thought, was that we took the time, we like paused the narrative for a while and like got into backstory for all the characters, and then that became a lot of information. Like we spent probably 10 minutes creating these, where they had come from for the decades previous, and now and everybody wanted something, and they all had like a scheme. And so the hardest thing we do for ourselves is when we put like some sort of plot or not, like a plot in the story. I don't mean that. I mean, like someone has a master plan, and there were like four people with a master plan, and it was like, whoa. And so, it was also fun because that was hard because it was a lot of information, but I also like had a pretty clear idea of all the people. And so we could move forward that way. But did you guys feel like that was a lot to manage?
Yeah. But I did have that feeling that we're kind of on the same page largely. I didn't feel like when any of you were talking that I was just ready for curveballs that were going to change everything up. You know, we were just sort of, yeah, putting new wrinkles into the texture of what we were working with.
I was really pushing what you were just describing, Mike, because I got to this point where I was sort of feeling like, all right, we know about these four people.
Yeah.
And I feel like we were at risk of our just sort of drifty, like things happen. And I was like, all right, we need to like impart some directionality here. And I didn't feel like we could just say like, we couldn't just in short order be like, this is what this person's trying to do, because it was kind of a weird, you know, like what their motivations are. We're like, some of them were clear, some of them were not. So I was kind of like, all right, we need to get some backstory and we need to get them into a place where they're trying to do something for some reason now to like move them forward. And I think we did manage well. We built a lot of backstory, but it wasn't totally like out of control. We were able to take that and then focus it into things that all like connected and related.
Some of us were. I'm going to go ahead and give myself a naughty boy for like immediate, like giving characters like really conflicting motivations to like what would have meant. Twice I did it. I did it once with Gertrude. Mike called me out for it, where I was like, Casey was like, she felt kind of tender. And I was like, but she really didn't.
I
missed this. What
happened? Oh, so you had just gotten done explaining about how she felt really tender towards, she had this moment of tenderness towards him now that the like divorce had gone through and she wasn't responsible for him anymore. And then
know that you were following through on your little fantasy of a lonely castle. She was walking around and seeing the
yeah.
She was doing that tour that you just described the real estate agent doing, saying, oh, look at this sad life that's, you know, that once was. And
then she stumbled across the parents' paintings and was like, all that resentment bubbled. I was like, oh, and then she felt all that resentment come back up because they'd asked her to be responsible for him. So it was just like this really conflicting kind of like, I just kind
of
like,
is that a naughty, that, I mean, that's her central thing, is this like conflict of like having loved him once and feeling in the responsibility. I mean, that seems in line.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I felt in the moment I was like, I felt like we'd been there already. We already knew that they didn't work. And so I was just kind of like restating something that was like,
or like, sort of standing in the way of it moving in a different direction.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like she could have followed that tenderness towards something active, but instead I put her right back in the place where she'd been for like 35 years.
Well, maybe you were just getting back at me for when you were like, she came to the door and he immediately buckled or he quailed, was your awesome term. And then I was like, the next thing out of my mouth was how he was all defiant and like Mike had to sort of rescue
these are the
characters.
Terms.
Mike had to explain why that made sense. So I was sort of negating your thing. So maybe,
oh yeah. I've forgotten about that, but yeah, take that, Casey.
Well, we stuck with it and the outcome was they had a very complicated relationship that was interesting.
Yeah.
So what was your other naughty boy, Ben?
I think we proved ourselves to be masters of the human condition here. The layers of loyalty and like,
especially, guilt.
Especially I think anyone listening to this story is going to just really see a lot of themselves in it.
Especially Gerhardt, is that his name? Especially Gerhardt.
Yeah. Everybody knows a Gerhardt, right?
Yeah. I don't know. Can anybody else guess what my other naughty boy is?
Well, I don't. Was it that moment where you insisted on telling us about Kevin?
No.
Okay.
You guys clearly don't care about Kevin, and that's because you're assholes.
Kevin was my favorite.
It was because I felt like it was a kind of a naughty boy when I had Gerhardt bet against himself, because it really made him like it really. Yeah, it just gave him really weird motivations. You know,
I deny
flips.
Your naughty boy. Okay. That's my favorite
you
part.
You got my back.
That's my favorite part. It worked out in a very interesting way, but in the moment, I was definitely like, okay, what are we going to do here now? It worked out great.
I was
going to
do it. If you hadn't done it, I was like, he's going to... I was like, he's going to place a bet against his own self in some way, like in some kind of... self-referential. I thought it was great.
Wow, you both had that.
Damn.
That's amazing.
Well, then, yeah, you guys are the naughty boys, Mike. For not thinking of that.
For not thinking of it. I mean, in a sense, yeah, because I do think it ended up like we learned this very interesting thing about him, you know, his integrity around gambling, and it set up an interesting thing for the end. But yeah, I was like, like in the moment, I didn't.
That's
I
like, as soon as I said it, I was like, oh. Is this going to work out?
I didn't know if it was, in my mind, it wasn't necessarily going to be about the house selling, but it was maybe something about Francis succeeding at his business it would be about Gerhardt himself. So I don't know, but anyway, I hadn't fleshed it out, but you got there.
Pattern call outs. Let's talk about these names, guys. But what was the dad's
Blenford
Nyborg. Blenford and Nyborg, I feel like, are cast classic Drew names.
I said a lot of
Nyborg.
You came up with most of the names.
I said
names
a lot of
story,
normal names.
So.
I had a lot of normal names today.
I feel like you named most of the characters, so I shouldn't be giving you a hard time, but
it was really important to me to redeem Gertrude. I'm not sure we did, but like she was the only female in this, was it a quartet? And
and the constable and all his boys.
No one like,
Cecilia's
no one was really like an admirable person, but we sort of made it out. We were from Francis' point of view, so she sort of seemed like a shrew at first.
Domineering.
So we had to get into, hopefully like everybody became so rich and complicated that they were all equally,
I mean, I know you're kind of joking, but I do think that they were four very different, like interesting, weird characters. Like I do think we ended up in that place. Whether she was redeemed or not, fair question.
I mean, Frances, I think she kept her promise. She kept the castle. She got that new family together. I feel like
she protected. She did protect Frances.
She was ultimately the catalyst for the redemption of Gerhard. I mean, I feel like she was the hero of the story. Really, she's maybe she a was little kind abrasive, of the, but
yeah, yeah. The
she's yeah, the only one making positive things happen in the entire.
She was sort of. I'm trying to phrase this like she was better at preserving the Nyborg legacy than the scions themselves.
Than the Nyborgs. Right.
Were. Yeah. She was kind of a truer offspring.
Yeah. Good job, us. I think we did it.
And she was there for Kevin in his lowest moment. So
yeah, that's right.
She had every motivation to throw him out.
Like, oh, by the way. So like you made you, this was another, like Casey's driving and he's not letting go of the wheel. He's like, here's this bit, you know, she's like, you need a manager. that like you were so insistent on getting that in there. And that's why I had to ask. You were thinking Kevin. We were all thinking Kevin, but I just like you to you. Did it work out perfectly? Because
yeah,
you had that moment, but we didn't get to find out till later that it was actually Kevin. Was that your baby?
Yeah, yeah, it was. It felt a little shoehorned in the moment. I thought in the moment I was going to be a little more graceful in the conversation that they had on the veranda and her coming to realize that he needed a manager and stuff. But I didn't.
That was a lab baby.
I did not feel like. I felt like somebody was going to jump in too soon. You know, if they started getting into a conversation on the veranda, it was not going to go my way. So she just went right to the point.
I know I do it like every other time I open my mouth, but it's like when you can feel everybody verbally being like, okay, everyone back up.
Give
me some space here because I have to do something. Like, I just love when you feel that.
I liked Kevin a lot as a character, and I was hoping that I think if I wrote this as a script, it would probably, or as a story, it would probably be a lot more elegant the way Kevin came to be the manager that was chosen than just her being like, we need a manager. And I think I know just the one.
Well, she clearly had him in mind. She'd had him in mind since the morning before. No, since that morning, I guess.
Yeah.
I guess all morning she'd been thinking about it.
She knows the go-getter. Yeah.
I totally botched this. Man, I wish I could redo this. So I had the idea of what's his butt, Kevin digging for evidence coming from the book. But then I thought it would have worked better if I said, like, you know, that book, of course, which was so important and informative for him. Like that was, he read that sentence, don't be afraid to get your hands dirty. And that reminded him of the rumor of that the bodies were buried. And like, that was the sequence that actually happened in his mind. But I did it the other way. Like there was a rumor and he got it from the book. Right. And I was like, ended up so clumsy. Like, just like Casey was saying, I thought a really good idea, but kind of fumbled it in the delivery.
That reminds me of a pattern. It's been a while. It's been a while since we had a strange law, a strange law that heavily influenced the outcome of a situation. So we've stayed away from it, but
I feel like
we did return to the well on that one.
People with strange private religions is maybe a call out. Also, like a pattern, the gambling credo, and also the real estate. Little cults.
When,
the book that
yeah,
he
like
followed.
Ideology that we love to nerd out about, like funny principles and stuff. That's for sure a pattern.
But a good one, I think.
And which is why we couldn't get out of that book is because it's like so totally our safe space.
The thing we're most interested in.
I had a great idea. Like once we started riffing on things that were actually printed in there, I had lower your rates, but raise your expectations.
Oh man, I kept trying to make I forget what they're called, but it's where you flip the sentence around. It's like, you know, like don't sell the bullshit the seller kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
A little bit of a road note taken.
I could have written that whole thing in about 2 hours, I bet.
The,
so, Casey?
when he was reading the section that inspired him, I ended up not interjecting because it was going to totally ruin the flow of the energy there. But I was thinking about him. I was thinking about the book having inset little cautions and like a graphic design set off, you know, like a little warning sign, like, remember, sometimes this can happen. And this is, it doesn't always apply in these situations, that he had always skipped because he was a lazy reader. Ooh. And this time when he was going through, there's one that says something like, these principles only hold when the buyer and seller parties are both, you know, rational actors or something, or some conditional that he had just ignored.
No. It was airtight, remember?
And those little call-outs would have a stop sign iconography on them.
Yeah. And that he'd go, and he would realize that this situation fell into that call-out, and that's totally upended his, you know, ideology about how to act in the moment. Another one, another road not taken was the night Gertrude was staying there. I can't remember why, but Francis went off on his own or something, and she was walking around. I was going to, after she like walked down the, well, I'm getting the time screwed up probably, but that night I was going to have her walk out onto a veranda. And Francis.
Couldn't wait to get that veranda. Francis, you were just like,
castles are hallways and verandas and big halls. That's all I know. And chambers. Anyway, what's his name? Francis was going to be dumping, I'm glad I didn't do this because it doesn't make any sense, but he was going to be dumping like gasoline, like all along the outside of the castle. And he was going to set fire to the castle.
Wow.
And burn the whole place down. Cause he was so mad about his inability to stand up to Gertrude. He's
flip out.
I'll tell you a road not taken. There was when they had their flashback moment at the pond that neither of them realized was a flashback moment. Drew and I both started talking at the same time. I was going to say, and the, like somebody said, and then they made out, and I was going to be like,
yeah,
I was totally going to be like, and then they made out again. But I really quickly was like, I don't think I wanted to go there. And so I was like backed way off. I was like, no, you take it, Drew, you take it. So
I almost threw in a voracious lovemaking session one or two times
at the pond.
Yeah,
you had to wait for Gerhardt though.
Yeah, I knew she was. I knew that she was waiting for somebody else.
That was not anticipated at all. Actually, like until the moment I said it, I hadn't even been thinking about it. Then I was like, oh yeah, he was in love with her this whole time.
That totally made sense.
I bought it right. I was like, of course.
Yeah.
So well done. You get a good boy for that.
Oh, thanks.
All right. Francis, Francis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Gertrude, Gertrude.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Kevin, traditional.
Yeah. C-H-A.
All right.
Here we go.
Gerhardt?
Gerhardt.
Gerhardt.
Yes.
Boom.
Yeah, we did. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
That's how I would have spelled it. I think in my head, my instinct for no good reason is to go to gear, like G-E-A-R. But as soon as I would start to spell it, I would know that was wrong, and I would do G-E-R.
I really. So I think that's a four for classic four. One for us to not get that kind of.
Yeah.
Wow. Nice work.
Okay, Nyborg. N-Y-B-O-R-G.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa! What?
Ooh.
What was yours?
I mean, I think it was N-E-I. N-E-I-B-O-R-G.
Whoa.
You're a veritable Drew over there.
Well, that just feels a lot more like stately to me.
Yeah.
If you're a rich family with a castle, I don't think you're...
All right.
No Y in there.
What was his name? Belford. B-E-L-F-O-R-D.
Blenford.
Blenford. B-L-E-N-F-O-R-D.
I didn't even bother because I couldn't.
N. Oh, no. N as in Nancy for me.
I thought it was N, yeah, actually.
Really?
But I thought it was Blenford. B-L-E-N-D-F-O-R-D.
Well, that's a zero for four.
I think you and I were on the same page. Right? I wish I'd said Blemford.
I was
Cecilia,
sure you did.
Cecilia, C-E-C-I-L-I-A.
Yep.
Yep.
Lionel.
Constance.
Wait, who's Constance?
one of the Nyborgs.
One of the Nyborgs. That's the one that I jammed in there. I was so happy to start filling out the family tree.
L-I-O-N-E-L.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
As the author of...
Yeah, the real estate.
Cell Morpholess.
We probably could write and sell that book.
Easily.
I think there is probably a market for that. All right. I'm not the MC, so I'll shut up now.
I don't think we needed to cover any accidental meaning. The meaning was pretty dripping heavy in there and pretty clear. Stay together and, you know.
I don't know, Casey. I feel like you're kind of losing your edge. You used to be the accidental meaning king. You've just kind of been phoning it in here for the last few weeks.
Well, you want me to whip something up here and see what I can do?
I do. I do.
Okay. Okay.
Use the castle if you want.
That's just what I was going to do.
Use the what?
It's the castle in the pond, okay? The castle, obvious, the rigidity, the solidity, the legacy, and it just can't be denied. People throw themselves against it, and every one of them in their own way, whether the constable, whether Kevin, whether the brothers, whether Gertrude, they all have their plan, and it just yields to the stone. The liquid, the pond, is where things flow. It's where love happens. It's where love is rediscovered. It's where the dogs are comfortable. It's
where deals are made.
Where the real deals are made, and the deals are broken at the castle.
On the veranda.
These are a lot of redemptive arcs, a lot of people reconnecting with their hearts, a lot of truth coming out, a lot of redefinition of family and that hall of,
in fact,
it's the last Duchess painted on the wall, can represent our old notions of what the relationships are of the what's the god damn it, what do you call kings and queens, monarchies, and
royal lineage.
The castle was the last Duchess, in a way, is what I'm thinking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or the painting of the last Duchess.
Or the castle.
Or Cecilia was the last Duchess. That's great, Casey. You nailed it.
Well done.
Way to go.
Killed it.
You're back. He's back.
Worth the wait.
Thanks, everybody. We will store you on the flip. And you guys, good work. Let's do it again soon.
Deal.